And this is the hour we take your phone calls with Raven Grimassi as we talk about witchcraft, his latest book, Communing with the Ancestors. We'll be back with your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Raven Grimassi with us. Of course, we'll get to your calls as well as we talk about the other side, the ancestors. It's interesting, how many witches, Raven, tap into this ancestry of theirs?
I don't know that you could really put a number on it. I think a large majority of people that practice witchcraft are definitely working in some way or another with the ancestors, but not all.
Did you ever meet a witch you didn't like?
Sure.
You have?
Well, of course. People are people, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Just because we share, you know, the same sort of core, there are people who just really aren't very nice people and people that are really very self-centered. Fortunately, the vast majority of witches that I personally meet and hang out with are some of the most exceptional people I've ever met in any field or theory, religion, spirituality.
Do you have special get-togethers?
Yeah, we do. I oversee a tradition along with my wife and called the Ash, Birch, and Willow tradition. And we do have gatherings with our initiates from time to time, and both socially and religious, spiritually.
What are some of the things you do, if I can ask?
Well, it depends. I mean, if it's social, then it's just the standard stuff. If it's religious or spiritual, then we're usually focused on the shifting of a season, spring, winter, summer, you know, whatever it might be, or the cross quarters. It's a religious observance of seasonal shifts of the planet. And we also, of course, venerate our view of divinity through a goddess and a god. So there'd be circle casting, there'd be altars, offerings, chanting, singing, you know, that type of thing.
Every witch I've known or I've talked to have been pretty decent people. We used to have a great guest. She passed away, Evelyn Paglini. We called her the Good White Witch.
Mm-hmm.
She practiced white light all around her. When I was in Detroit as a radio reporter back when I was 21 years old, Raven, we had a witch there named Gundella. And, I mean, she was fun because every Halloween I'd go out and interview her, and she was just a nice person and fun. But she took witchcraft seriously, too.
Oh, yes.
I mean, she did the good spells and things like that, which I want to bring up before we go to calls. Do you do spells, or do you know witches who do spells to help people?
Oh, certainly. I think that those are more common than anything else, whether they're, you know, healing, counseling, getting people back to balance, helping them achieve their goals. There's also the use of tarot cards or other means of oracle divination to sort of help them get a view of what's happening around them and to help them make plans. So the vast majority of what happens in witchcraft is of a positive nature.
All right, let's go to Galadriel in Oak Harbor, Washington. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi. I am a witch.
All right.
George, I've talked to you lots of times.
I remember the name. It's hard to forget.
It's hard to forget that name. That is my chosen name, and my birth surname is Craft. So I recently went back to using two names. I only had one name for a really long time. That's not why I called, though. Raven.
Yes.
Nice to talk to you. I always thought that my inclinations, I'll say, came from my Italian side. And then I found out that they may be from the other side, which is German, which the name Kraft means strength and power in German. So I have tried to commune with my Italian grandmother, who died very young before any of her grandchildren were born, and I don't get a sense of her. Would that be because she's been gone such a long time?
This is your, did you say your great-grandmother?
No, my mother's mother.
Oh, your grandmother.
Grandmother.
Right.
So, the thing that we have to understand also is that when people die, they are also their own beings, and so they have things that they, you know, will do in places they have to go, and so they're not always around. So just because you're not hearing from them, it doesn't mean there's a problem. It means probably in the afterlife in which they find themselves, they're connected to other things that don't allow them to be present to you. As far as the two lineages that you have, the German and the Italian, you have ancestors in both who are waiting to communicate and always are communicating to you. But if one seems absent or weaker, you just need to focus. You could call your grandmother back. You know her name and all that, I assume.
Oh, right. Yeah, and I have a little altar with her picture and my grandfather and my mom. I have altars all over the house.
On that and call her name and put an offering in front of her and ask her to be more present, I think you could fine-tune that back.
Raven, tell me about the candles. Why do they seem to work? And they, at least Evelyn used to tell us, different colors for different things.
Well, they set a resonance, you know. In magic, you have to self-enchant. It's more difficult just to walk into a well-lit room and sit down and, you know, try to do a spell. It's much more conducive if the lights are off and the candle's on and you're looking at the glowing flame and you're looking at the color of the candle that represents something about what you desire, like a green candle for money. It sets a mood, it self-enchants, and it fine-tunes you, puts you in a mystical headspace that allows the magic to move more freely and be more effective.
Next up, we go to Paul in Miami, Florida. Hey, Paul, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to ask your guest. According to the Bible, God told Adam that if he ate of this one tree, he would die. Now, only the serpent said he would not die. Now, if Adam did not die, where is he today? And why is it that your guests think that somebody can continue to live when God said Adam would die?
Well, it's an interesting thing. You know, first of all, we have to realize that the story you're talking about is a myth, a legend, not historical fact. The second thing is that Adam was going to die anyway, because after he ate the apple, God said that they had to cast him out of Eden, lest he eat from the tree of life and live forever. So he was already designed to die according to the Bible. God said he would die in the day that he ate the apple. He didn't. The serpent said, no, you won't, and he didn't. So who was telling the truth?
That's a good point. Who was telling the truth? And do you think Eve was... See, we think the Adam and Eve story might have been extraterrestrial, Raven.
There are lots of stuff you can put into these old stories, you know, but people get that Adam and Eve thing very, very confused. If you really read the story... There's no tempting from the serpent. He's not tempting her. He just states a fact. He has very little dialogue in the story, but he becomes the bad guy. But everything the serpent said was true. Everything God said was not true, because Adam did not die the day he ate there of the fruit.
No.
It was never named an apple, by the way. But we know that they were designed to die, because in that same story, God says now they might eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. So that wasn't the original plan. He wasn't going to have them live forever. So, see, that story gets a little convoluted.
Let's go out to California. Ally is with us. First-time caller. Hi, Ally.
Oh, my God. I'm Ally. Oh, my God, George.
Yes, you are. You made it.
Thank you so much. No, I'm just, like, truly honored, because I've listened to you for years and years, but I have never yet heard a topic where I felt so strongly.
Well, here you are.
Absolutely. Okay, Raven?
Yes.
Okay, my question for you is this. I have a few friends. First of all, I'm a Gnostic Christian.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I'm a Gnostic Christian. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily believe that Christ was the Son of God, or that he was, you know, a deity, but so much as a human who was a philosopher.
But you believe in God.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, I believe. Well, I believe in whatever God exists.
Whatever it is.
I do not understand the definition.
Okay, that's fair.
Right. Perfect. Right. Okay. That being said, I've had a few friends who have dwelled into witchcraft and swear by it, and the only thing that bothers me is the sacrifice of domestic animals and pets. Now, I stand for everything that witchcraft stands for in terms of ancestors and spirituality and earth and, you know, yin and yang and all of that, but the only thing I can't get on board with is the justification of sacrificing domestic pets. I mean, I run a cat rescue in Orange County.
Well, let me address that because
please,
I think this will make you
please,
feel better.
Thank you.
I've been involved in the craft for over 40 years. As an author, I attend festivals with hundreds of people, conventions with hundreds of people. I have met probably literally thousands upon thousands of witches in my lifetime, and I did not know any single one of them that would ever sacrifice an animal.
No, nor have I.
So I think that information that you have is coming from somewhere else.
Devil worshippers would do that.
I'm sorry?
Devil worshippers would do that.
I
not
have
witches.
Been said that they do. I've never met one, so I don't know, but no, that's not part of witchcraft. It's not a traditional part of witchcraft to sacrifice, cats or dogs or lizards or frogs or whatever. Most witches have a very deep respect for life, very deep respect for nature, and that's just not part of our mentality.
Will you use certain things in spells, like the lock of hair of an individual or something like that?
You know, I have. Some people do. I find that to be a way to intimately connect with someone. So if I want to do a healing or help them in some way, if I have an object that belonged to them, I find it's like a beacon. It helps me tune in on them energetically. So in that regard, we do use tokens such as a lock of hair.
Next up, let's go to our truck-driving friend in Indiana. William is with us east of the Rockies. Hey, William, go ahead.
Hey, give you a little background on me. When I was younger in high school, I started to come into witchcraft. And everybody around me always felt that I was really strong, had a lot of energy, had a strong aura come off of me, was very intuitive, being able to pick up on other people's thoughts. And one time I even went as far as totally by accident. I was talking to a friend of mine when all of a sudden, like, a portal connected between us and, like, to her eyes. And I zipped in and actually saw, like, a past life of hers. And she was shocked at how I did that. Well, one night, somewhere around 97, 98, around there, I had a very strong, bad, traumatizing psyche situation to where my eyes changed color. They became real yellow, just the color of my eyes. And I had all sorts of bad visions and everything else. And since then, it's like my energy has just been gone. And I haven't been able to do, like, practically anything since.
See, that sounds more like a possession, Raven, doesn't it?
Well, unfortunately, the sound was very garbled, and I couldn't really make out what the gentleman was saying.
He changed. His eyes changed color. Everything changed. Something happened to him. So to me, it sounds like he was possessed by something, and he's not been the same since.
Basically, certain it sounds like was going on there. That's not something I've seen happen with individuals, but when you're dealing with psychic energies or spiritual energies, I mean, there's lots of possibilities of things that can happen. There are entities that can enter you and to some degree have some control or influence, but I would need to know a lot more about what happened and what he had been doing to really answer that question for him.
It doesn't sound like some kind of witch spell or anything like that, though, does it?
No, not really. I mean, people throw a lot of things onto witchcraft, just because, like, for example, just because someone's psychic, it doesn't mean they're a witch. Just because someone
right.
can do magic, it doesn't mean they're a witch. You know, witchcraft is more about a specific way of living your life and
sure. And
identity. But That type of thing that I think, from what I could understand, does not sound like witchcraft.
And just because you're a witch doesn't mean you're psychic either.
That is correct. Yeah, that's very
true. Goes that way too.
Yeah.
Mike in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Mike, you're on with Raven Grimassi. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. Good morning, Raven.
Good morning.
I was going to ask you a question. Say that your maternal side, your ancestors, was like more light, but your paternal side, maybe they were a little more dark and did some strange things, and you had talked about reconciliation of those. And what if you had happened to die, and like you had an NDE, and you were drawn to the darker side of those, and then say, you survived, but then, you know, what would you do to try to, you said, to reconcile those ancestors or what they did? To kind of make sure that they would be okay.
Right. Well, there's two parts to that. You know, one thing to understand is that their blood's flowing through you, and so there is an energetic connection to them and their deeds and whatnot. The other thing is redeeming them from not being trapped and held in that energy. If on the other side, your maternal side, you could call upon those ancestors to be allies, spirit guides to help you turn the tide, and then you could turn your attention onto the paternal side and claim your right of authority, because you are the current steward holding the bloodline, the current living person of that bloodline. And like I said earlier, then you could speak back to them and say, I release you, I redeem you, I pardon you as the living steward of your bloodline, and I release you from that which holds you. That would be the first thing I would try.
Well, with Raven Grimassi, his latest book is called Communing with the Ancestors. And how many books do you have out there now? 20 plus, don't you?
I think 21 at last count.
Wow. Pretty prolific. You enjoy writing.
I love writing. Yep, I really do.
Give out your websites, Raven, if you would.
HouseofGrimassi.com is the main one. And then I have RavenGrimassi.net, which is a secondary one. And then we have ravensloft.biz, B-I-Z, which is our store that supports all the work that we do.
Can you believe it? In about 6-7 months, it's going to be Halloween again?
I'm looking forward to that. It's one of my favorite times.
Fast year. So do you dress up as what?
A witch. Of course.
I mean, do some of the witches put on the traditional tall witch's hat and the cackle and things like that?
Well, only for play, you know. Yeah. That's just a playful thing. You know, witches hold Halloween, Samhain, whatever you call it, there's different names, as a very sacred time. So it's usually, robes, very nice, you know, jewelry to complement that. It's a very sort of dressing up for the season and holding sacredness in some special robe that has appeal to you or symbolism on it. And so it's not really the Halloweenish thing, you know, with the tall hat and the cauldron, right, and, you know, and goofing around. Right. But, you know, we do that for fun at parties and whatnot. You
All
know,
right, so. We're coming back to take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with our guest this hour, Raven Grimassi, and we're going to take your final calls. Open lines begin next hour here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, don't forget, stick around all night long. We've got open lines for you coming up in just a bit, too, with the Mad Moment Hotline. We'll tell you about that. Raven Grimassi with us. Raven, and I've got to tell you, your demeanor is phenomenal. I mean, you seem like a great guy, a nice person, but I mean, you just, there's an aura about you.
Well, thank you. That's very flattering.
Please don't put a bad curse on me. Please don't.
Oh, well, of course not. No.
There are now we talked about some witches that will be good and witches that will be bad. Most are good. Do bad curses work?
Well, they can, just like any magic, you know. If magic is done, you know, according to a formula that works, and you empower it and you send it, you can cause changes to occur, unfortunately, positive or negative. But, of course, on the other end, it depends on who you're sending that energy to. you know, if you're sending it to someone who has no magical knowledge, you know, there's less defense against that. Whereas if it's sent against someone who has magical knowledge, then essentially it's like, you know, two martial arts experts on a mat going at it, you know. But that's not really the goal of witchcraft, you know, to harm people. But people can, and, you know, some people do use the negative magic, and yes, it can work.
Does the recipient of the good or bad curse need to know that it's being done?
Oh, you mean like if they don't believe in it, it can't affect them?
Right, or if they don't even know it's happening.
Oh, yeah, you know, magic is energy, and they don't have to know or not know. If it's real magic, it will affect them either way. There's kind of a misnomer out there, if you don't believe in the magic, it can't affect you, which isn't true. To me, it's like, you know, if you believe a gun's not loaded, but it is loaded, that belief's not going to help you when the bullet, you know, leaves the chamber.
Right, especially if you're pointing it at your head.
There you go. So, yeah, you know, it can have an effect whether you believe in it or not.
Let's go to Angels Camp, California to get things started. Brad is with us, west of the Rockies. Hey, Brad, go ahead. Brad, are you still with us? Nope. Dead air. Gone. Let's go to Carlos, though, in Carson, California. Hi, Carlos. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening.
Hello.
Yes, good evening. Hello. I was watching a video the other night conducted by Henry Metcalf of a lady named Marianne, where she was mentioning that on September the 21st, which she hinted was a witchcraft date, there would be thousands of children sacrificed over that weekend, over the September 21st to 23rd date. And she kind of hinted that that was the reason why the Pope was here visiting last year to address the United Nations. She sort of made a connection with that because she was making a connection between priest pedophilia and the sexual abuse of children. So, I mean, because I know your guest says that no, there's no such thing as abuse or ritual sacrifice, but there's a lot of people who claim to have been part of these sacrifices. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't, you know, those things happen, but I'm saying it wouldn't be the witches that are doing it to them. As far as the date you picked out, that sounds like they're talking about the autumn equinox, which is a, you know, not only a change, you know, of energy on the planet, but it's also one of the festival days in witchcraft. But again, you know, witches aren't going to spend their time during a sacred festival or holiday injuring people. They're going to be spending their time venerating divinity and healing the planet and each other and working on very gainful, productive, fertile things. It's completely contrary to the idea of destruction. Witches are not about destruction. Witches are about benefit, gain, and growth.
What has been the most amazing curse you've ever witnessed, or spell, something good that you've witnessed that has happened? Somebody ever wanted to do a spell to win the lottery and they won $10 million?
Yeah, I think one of the most profound spells, because it happened so quickly and probably shouldn't have happened by any normal reasoning, was we managed to get somebody back from a war zone with a spell, because they were in really bad shape and they weren't going to be released. And we actually, our coven did a spell, and within 3 days, word came that the guy was being sent back home. And that was, they were adamant that he wasn't going to be sent back.
Huh.
He was. So we found that to be very beneficial, because he came back and was able to recuperate and get his life back together.
Miracles within spells.
Yeah.
Next up, we go to Jeff in Victoria, British Columbia, out there in Canada. Hey, Jeff, good morning to you. Thanks for calling.
Well, yeah. How are you doing, George?
Good. Thanks.
Yeah. Listen, I live in Victoria, and I know a guy who claims to be a warlock.
Okay.
And he was telling me all about the background of witchcraft or Wicca in Victoria. And he said it's like the capital of Wicca in the world.
Hmm.
I wonder if... Is that his name?
Raven.
Oh, Ray. What do you know about this in Victoria? Because, like, I actually went to one of their festivals.
That I have not encountered. I have to be honest. I know absolutely nothing about.
But it could be a Mecca in Canada.
I would be surprised if it was that I didn't know about it. I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but I have lots of networks and connections. It would surprise me if there was some major center of witchcraft that I would be unaware of it, but that's possible.
What's the major center of witchcraft in the United States, Raven?
Well, there isn't really a center, you know.
That's spread all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, witchcraft never really did have a center. It's always been groups of people and individuals spread out over, you know, long distances. So there's no central authority. There's no central, really, anything. Yeah, and as far as warlock, that's not a term that's typically used in the witchcraft community. Males and females are usually referred to as witches, although there are some male witches who do like to use the word warlock.
We will go to Mike in New York City on the wild card line. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to know if it's possible that I've been under a curse for the last 2 years.
All right, what's happening to you?
Well, it started about 2 years ago. I started getting trembly, shaky all over, and everything went wrong. Like my television went on blank, and my water filter stopped working, and I've been having all kinds of problems. My health hasn't been good.
Maybe just a string of bad luck. Do you think somebody has put a curse on you? Who would want to do that to you?
There's a woman who I met in the local gin mill, and she was giving me these odd looks, and then she started talking to me, and then she unexpectedly she hugged me. You know, she said, "Oh, you're so handsome." You know, and I didn't feel right about it. Next day or the day after, I got a case of these head lice.
Was she close enough to get her head next to yours?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah. They jumped from her head to yours.
Oh boy!
Gosh! Now, do you think she put a curse on you, or do you just think it's bad luck, or what?
I think there's more than just bad luck. I think it may be a curse of some sort
from her. Yeah, but she acted like she liked you. Why would she do this to you?
I think it was just a front. I don't know why she would do this.
Wow.
I remember she said to me, "Why do you come here? You don't play Trivial Pursuit, and you don't drink that much, so why do you come here?" So I don't know. I said, "Well, I just come here for a walk."
You just had a funny feeling. Does not sound like Raven a witch to me, does it?
No, you know, there are old stories about people, you know, passing the, what they call the envy or the evil eye. You know, it's an old folklore thing.
Or head lice.
Or head lice, yeah. The head lice curse, yeah. So there are old stories about that, but I think that's what they are stories and misunderstandings. I think sometimes in life, you know, you get a bad string of luck, and it has nothing to do with anyone's doing.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'm going to, during open lines, talk about a little bit of my day today, which started with a flat tire, practically, almost. But things like that sometimes just run in cycles, don't they?
Yeah they do.
Donald?
And I don't think it has to be magic. I mean, technically speaking, you could create a situation in which someone had bad luck for a certain period of time, but I don't know anybody that would really want to do that. But I think in most cases, especially with the common person on the street, I think they're just having a bad string of luck.
Let's go to Donald in Kent, Ohio. Hey, Donald, go ahead.
Oh, hey, thank you, brother. Hey, happy Sabbath. You know, first of all, both Adam and Eve did die spiritually. They lost their Shekinah glory. And they realized that they were naked, so they had to, you know, sew fig leaves to cover themselves. It's believed that the image on the Shroud of Turin was also caused by the Shekinah glory. You know, Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai in Exodus 34 with God, and when he came down, his face shined so bad that he had to cover it in order to address the people.
His hair turned white, didn't it?
Well, that was probably why when he went up there. He was a pretty old guy.
I keep looking at Charlton Heston, thinking about him.
Yeah, good actor. But, you know, in Matthew 17, when Jesus was on the mount and he was transfigured, his face, you know, did shine, you know, as the sun, and his clothes were as white as light. So, you know, the Shekinah glory, we lost so much of it that now they do a thing called Kirlian photography, where they use very sensitive instruments and very sensitive film to capture the remnant of that aura.
Aura, that's right,
or that God spirit, basically. But the bottom line was is that although, you know, Adam lived 800 years after the fall, his fall, he did die, and so Satan did lie to them when he said they will not surely die. So we have to look at Scripture in a more broad aspect.
Well, the actual quote was, "The day that you eat thereof, you will die." So the day you will die, not. Everything else is extrapolation upon that. The actual Scripture says, in the day you eat thereof, you shall die. He ate there on the day, and he did not die on that day. But again, these are stories. These are myths and legends that convey different teachings. As to the aura thing, yes, people can generate energy, and sometimes that can be seen. You know, but I'm a person who believes in balance, and so we have to look at these things very, very balanced. Again, these are stories, myths, and legends. There's no historical evidence that any of that ever happened. So we have to really kind of use our minds and be reasonable.
I'm not sure I'd believe anything from Satan. Do you believe Satan existed at all, Raven?
No, certainly not.
You don't? Think organized religion just created all that stuff?
Well, they're control methods, you know.
They are.
Organizations have always used fear and enemies to control the population. Governments do it. You know, religions do it. You create a threat. You say, I can keep you safe from that threat if you do.
If you listen to us, march to our beat.
Yeah, and so people fall in line, and it allows governments and churches to control people and get them to do what they want to do and keep them from doing what they don't want them to do. Witchcraft is about liberation. It's about liberating your spirit and not being a slave to dogma or doctrine. It's really about claiming the, like the gentleman was saying, the light, the divine light within you, and not letting anyone control that light for you.
John in Gold City, British Columbia as well. Lots of Canadian neighbors calling. First-time caller. Go ahead, John.
Hi, George. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank
really
you.
Good to be on the air with you.
Well, you sound good. You sound like you've been on the air before.
I've actually had that comment made that I should be a radio announcer myself.
You sound good.
I'm actually on Vancouver Island, just north of Jeff, the previous caller in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard the same comments made. By the way, greetings to Raven as well. The same comments about Victoria being a headquarters for witchcraft historically, which is kind of interesting because you don't really see a lot of evidence of it there. But my actual question for Raven had to do with the familiar spirits that he mentioned briefly. Where the Bible talks about deceiving spirits and so on. I'm wondering what the process is that he would use to differentiate between malignant spirits and beneficial spirits or ancestor
okay.
spirits, and also how he would resist the urge or the temptation or the attraction to drift to the dark side and become a person who uses the dark side of witchcraft.
Okay, Raven, I'll let you take that one first. What do you think?
Yeah, there's quite a bit
you?
In that one.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, because of my spirituality and my love of people and humanity and life, that keeps me from, you know, the dark side, if you will. So it's just the caliber, I think, of my character that keeps me stable and balanced. As to familiar spirits, there are spirits that are passed through family lines. That's probably where the familiar spirit came from, familia meaning family. And these are lineaged, you know, allies, spirit guides, and guardians. In Christianity, they might call them angels, guardian angels. It's all semantics. As far as negativity goes, I don't really believe in beings who are naturally negative. I believe that just like any creature you would encounter in nature, you have to be more careful around some than others. It doesn't mean they're evil. A tiger isn't evil because he wants to eat you. He's a tiger being a tiger. So you have to use common sense and reasonability.
We're evil if we want to eat the tiger.
Well, then you're getting into politics, you know.
That's right.
But the whole thing being that I think we've complicated this, and we've drawn this distinct line between good and bad and evil, and I don't think it's that simple. But again, you know, where you focus your spirituality is what you're going to draw to yourself. If you're a person who wants to be around negativity, you can draw probably beings that are negative, if that's what you want. If you want to draw beings to you that are beneficial, helpful, allies, guardians, and guides, that's what you'll draw to yourself.
Like attracts like, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
That happens all the time. Raven, thank you so much. Are you on Facebook at all? Do you do social networking?
Yes, I'm on Facebook. You can find me there.
Great. Under your name?
Yeah, it's actually backwards on there for some reason. It's Grimasi Raven, but underneath it says author Raven Grimasi.
G-R-I-M-A-S-S-I.
G-R-I-M-A-S-S-I. Yeah.
That's it. Thanks, Raven. You take care of yourself.
Thanks. Appreciate being back on the show.
Okay, absolutely. I just love talking to witches. I just really do. Up next, a couple hours of open lines. I'll tell you about the hotline when I come right back on Coast to Coast AM.